Let's stand for the reading tonight. I want to teach you something. I always like to teach something that you learn your Bible and you learn a lesson from your Bible as well, not just a story. But I want to look, the Lord gave me this and just kind of snapped together, so I hope I can bring it to you like He gave it to me. Acts 13 and 13. This is right after the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. And Peter is talking. He said, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers." Now notice how he says that. He's talking to the Jews that are like, they're marveling at what went on. He said, "The God of Abraham," they knew that. "The God of Isaac," they knew that. They knew the God of Jacob. But he says, it's the same God, the God of our fathers. Okay, "Your father, my father, hath glorified his son, Jesus, that one you crucified, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate." You denied the Son of God in the presence of the governor, Pilate, when he was determined. I want you to key in on that word. When he was determined to let him go. What changed Pilate's mind? Then verse 23, and they were, now this is in the account there of the actual account of it happening. And they were instant in loud voices. They were quick, loud voices, requiring that he, Pilate, or Jesus, might be crucified at the hands of Pilate. And the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. He was determined to let him go. But the voices of other people prevailed. I want to talk about prevailing voices. Prevailing voices. Lord, I come before you tonight. We've all got a voice in this matter of salvation. We have a voice, just as Adam had a voice, we've got a voice. And Lord, we need to realize that we need to be on the right side of the prevailing voice. We ask you to open up our understandings tonight to your word. We give you the praise, God, for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Voices. I'm going to talk about prevailing voices. Moses came down off the mountain. You might remember he went up there to get the Ten Commandments to hear the voice of God. And as he gets the voice of God, God writes the Ten Commandments. So what he had said is now in writing, right? What I have said now is written. And of course, what is written is written. And so when he comes down off the mountain, he hears voices. But the problem was, you see, they weren't all saying the same thing. So there was such a mix of voices that he got confused. He said to Joshua, he said, I hear the voice of war. They listened. No, it is the voice of victory. No, it's the voice of war. And they could not determine until they got down there and saw it wasn't either one. It wasn't either one. They were worshiping a calf, an idol. But when we all say the same thing, and we all say it at the same time, it's a prevailing voice. We all understand it. They were in one place, one accord, and suddenly, you know, they were prevailing. So whenever we get together and we say the same things, justice will prevail, right? The voice will prevail. And so we can get confused by all these voices. We read in 1 Corinthians 14 and 10, it says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. And none of them is without signification or meaning. Every voice you hear has a meaning to it. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian to me. We don't understand each other. But every voice, there is a meaning. Now, I agree you can carry this too far. I've heard a little joke where two psychiatrists got on an elevator going up, you know, in hospital or wherever, and someone else stepped on the elevator, and they just standing there. When he got ready to go out, the other man, he turned to the two psychiatrists and said, y'all have a good day. And he walked out. As soon as the door shut, they looked at each other and said, I wonder what he meant by that. You're going to analyze everything you hear. Wonder what he meant by that. And so I understand that there is meaning to voices, but at the same time, I don't want to get carried away and try to analyze what somebody says. What do they mean by that every time they say it? But we're talking about voices in the world, influencing voices tonight. And we as Christians must discern the meaning behind every voice that we listen to, every voice that moves me, every doctrine. He said, don't chase every wind of doctrine. Every voice, don't need to go chase it. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, going to enter in, right? They got a voice. So we need to understand what a prevailing voice is. You ever heard of a prevailing wind? Right? Well, I can tell you that y'all live down there close to Hackberry. Just look at the trees. They all lean to the north. And the further you get to the coast, you get right along the coast and go to Galveston Island, some of those places, you look at every tree is leaning to the north, and all the growth is on the north side, and the south side leaning this way. Why? Because we have a prevailing south wind here in along the coast. And that prevailing, that constant blowing, even though it shifts from time to time, the prevailing wind is to the south, and therefore that tree, as mighty as it may be, and as strong as it may be, and even though the sun comes up more on the south, the wind wins. That's a good right there. The wind wins. It's prevailing, even over the sunlight and over the sun. It makes that tree bow over. And so I want to talk about voices that influence you. Prevailing voices. Voices in our lives that determine the direction we lean. Who do you talk to? Who do you lean on? Who do you call in your day of trouble? And I've said this many, many, many times. When people, for example, if they get hurt, or if they for example, I always use the tobacco chewer. He's just a good one to pick on. And if I say, well, brother, you can't chew that tobacco. The Lord says we're the temple of the Lord, and you're going to defile God's temple if you do that. You think he's going to go to the most godly man and say, brother, I just want to get your opinion on this because I'm not sure. You know, pastor said that it would hurt my body, and I'm really not sure about this, but I see you as a godly man, so tell me, give me the truth, the straight of it. That's not what you're going to do. What they're going to do is go to another tobacco chewer. They're going to go to somebody else who's going to support what they want to hear. Well, what do you think about it? I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. Take some of this. This is what I chew. Well, I didn't think there was either, but that pastor's wrong. And they don't go to the voice of God. They go to somebody else's voice that will support what they want to hear anyway. Am I right on that? That's what people do. I thought so. And so I want to talk about these voices that hinders your growth and it skews your mental ability to think proper. You don't think right because of what other people say. And sometimes you're just scared of what they will say. And it influences you because I know what they're going to say. There were things I didn't want to tell my daddy and mom because I knew they were going to say I shouldn't have done that. I knew they were going to say that. So you just avoid it. And while these trees that I'm talking about may survive in life, they're very difficult to straighten up. And many times people that are raised in a house where the prevailing voice was negative, it was critical, it was down, it was always that, it's hard to straighten that bow up. And so you can stake it, you've got to keep working at it. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'm just saying it's not easy. It skews the way we think, and it modifies our behavior so that we lean in the direction that we really shouldn't be. The Bible says we should be upright. Right? See, of all the creatures he made, they crawled, not man. The Bible says he made him upright, and he should also live upright. The Apostle Peter and John has just performed this miracle at the hands of Jesus, or using the name of Jesus. This lame man is walking now. He was sitting at the gate called Beautiful Daily. Somebody set him there. But this day, Peter and John came by, and they said, in the name of Jesus, silver and gold have I none, but such as I do have, what I do have is this name. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they took him by the right hand, raised him up, and strength immediately came to his ankle bones, and strength, he began to leap and run into the temple, a place he never could go before, because he couldn't go. Being crippled like that, he couldn't get into the temple. So the first place he wanted to go was the temple to thank the Lord and see what's in there anyway. He was sitting there watching other people go in. He wanted to go in. For the first time, he could go in. And so, now all of these people, I want you to get the picture, all these people that were saying, away with him, crucify him, now see Peter and John say, in the name of the one you crucified, rise up and walk. And they begin to marvel. Are you with me? So Peter said to the crowd there, the same ones that said, away with him, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, God of our fathers, hath glorified the one you killed, hath glorified his son, whom ye delivered up, you delivered him up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. You changed his mind. Anybody ever changed your mind before? I'm just saying they have. People's changed my mind before. I thought, sure, I was going to do something some way, and then by the time they got through influencing me, I didn't do it at all or did it wrong. Changed his mind when he was determined to let him go. It said, who were instant with loud voices. Instant. They didn't yell. Instant with loud voices saying, crucify him. And these voices, the Bible says, of the people, the crowd, the spirit of the crowd. Have you ever noticed the spirit of a crowd? That's why I wish this house was so full, because I'm telling you, the spirit of the crowd would be here too. There's nothing wrong with the spirit of the crowd as long as it's the right crowd. Because you go to a football stadium, now some of you are going to the rodeo thing there, I'm telling you, there's going to be the spirit of the crowd there. I mean, they're going to be hooping and hollering. It's the spirit of the crowd and the anticipation of everybody being there, and nothing's even happened yet. It's the spirit of the crowd. The same thing we need to bring into the church. If we ever get to where, that's why I wish this church was about this big. Push it all together. You know, you have the spirit of the crowd. It's not the spirit of the room. It's the spirit of the crowd. And when you put the crowd together, that spirit is magnetic and it's electric, and I like it. And so they were just instant. The spirit of the crowd began to influence the politician. So I want to talk about, listen close, I want to talk about how many voices Pilate heard that day. And the prevailing voice that changed his mind that day. Every voice that he heard had a meaning behind it. You going to stay with me as I teach this Bible study tonight? Let's look at Matthew 27 and 11. And we'll find that the first voice that Pilate heard was the voice of truth. The voice of Jesus. Once he had been delivered Jesus, the first voice he hears is the voice of truth. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, now watch this closely because I'm coming back to it. Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. I am who you said I am. The voice of truth. I am of truth. That you just said. So the first voice that he hears is this voice of truth. And my brothers and sisters, that should be the prevailing voice. The voice of truth should always be the prevailing voice. But here, we're going to work him down. Watch. I'm going to work him down till finally they prevail. So this voice of truth, let me tell you a little bit about the voice of truth. The voice of truth brings freedom. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It ought to be freedom is to be able to do what you want to do, so to speak, in America. But freedom in Christ is to do what Christ says you can do. Be what Christ says you can be. Act like God says you can act. That's the freedom I'm looking for. We are never free from the wrath of men, but we are free from the condemnation that is brought on to man. Because the truth will make you free. It all starts out with the voice of truth. And other voices will begin to mix in and to speak as we go along in this Bible study. The Bible starts out with the voice of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said. And whatever he says is going to happen. His voice is the prevailing voice. When he said, let there be light, the next verse says, and there was light. There was nothing in between what we see when the prevailing voice said, let there be light. And there was light. There was not. That was it. So whatever he says needs to be the prevailing voice in your life. So he speaks to his two creatures that he created, Adam and Eve, and he tells them the truth, because he cannot lie, right? The one thing that God cannot do, he cannot lie. Because whatever he says, if he says that jacket's blue, it's turned blue. Because it's going to be whatever he says. And so he speaks to his creatures, Adam and Eve, and he says, you may freely eat of the garden of every tree, but of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, you shall not eat. From the day you do, shall die. That's the truth. That ought to be the prevailing voice to carry you day to day. But after the voice of truth comes, listen close, will always come the voice of pollution. Polluted, diluted. And shoot it. I know y'all waiting for that. The voice of contamination that dilutes the truth. The Bible says there will come a time they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll heap to themselves having teachers, having itching ears. And they'll be drawn away from the truth. And then they don't love the truth. They're going to be deceived. Right? So there's coming, there's always been. As soon as you hear the truth, that was the word of God that was put out, the seed that was put out was truth. What happened? The birds came and this came and that came. As always, as soon as you hear the truth, pollution comes. And what it attempts to do is to change your mind by subverting you from the truth so that you do not obey the truth or live the truth. It is the voice, my brothers and sisters, of the evil one. So that there are really two spirits that are voices, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I'll show you that a little later. So the serpent comes into the picture. After God has spoken truth, here comes the serpent into the picture with the voice that is polluted. And he wants to pollute what God has said. So he begins to talk to her. Oh, you surely won't die. Yeah, it'll make you wise like God. He polluted it. So that now she is now caught between, see, the winds are changing. She was determined not to eat that fruit. I don't know how many years they had lived that they didn't. I don't know. Maybe in a day. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I just got to believe it was many, many years they lived there. And all of a sudden now, when something gets polluted, it gets hard to find the truth in it. Because then you start like, well, maybe God is hiding something from me. And so, as you know, she took of the fruit, did eat, and gave it to her husband, and he did eat. What happened? The truth prevailed. They died. The truth will always prevail. So Pilate said to Jesus, don't you hear all these voices out here? Don't you hear how many things that they're accusing you of? And he answered him, the Bible says, not a word. Only if Eve would have not answered a word, she would have stayed in the garden. But when you mix your voice, because when we get to the corrective part of chapter 3 of Genesis, and the serpent said, and Eve said, and Adam said, and then God said, and what God says is going to work. Pilate said, I've got the power to let you go. See, he's wavering a little bit. He's coming down a little bit because he was determined to let him go. But now, I want you to know, buddy, I got the power to release you, the power to crucify you. He said, you have no power except it come from above. He goes to Jesus in private. He says, I got to let somebody go here today. I got to make a decision. And I got to let a good one go. Y'all are all supposed to be bad, but I can't find any fault in you. And he told the crowd, because he was determined to let him go, I find no fault in him. What evil has he done? He was determined, but he was wearing down. Now, I got to let one of y'all go. And I'd like to let you go. But do you hear them out there? If you let him go, thou art not a friend of Caesar. Wearing him down. You ain't my friend if you go to that church. I ain't never speaking to you again. I'm Will he listen to the voice of truth or not? Verse 18. See, the voice that came out against Christ was the voice of envy. You'd be shocked how many people that go to church, claim to be Christians, are envious. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He was determined to let them go. He knew they were wrong. He knows that they're envious of him. So I'm going to find a way to let him go. Pilate knew that he had been delivered into his hands, but how could he do justice hearing the mob out there and looking at Christ? Envy is grudging feelings that people have that supports their heart that is filled with malice. Away with him! He said he's the Son of God. But when Pilate sat down, listen close, in judgment seat, another voice appeared unto him through his wife. It was the voice of his conscience. Matthew 27:19. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man." That was his conscience talking. The voice, I'm walking you through what you encounter. All these voices are what you go through. Don't do it. Don't eat of that tree. Don't look at that. Don't go there. Don't touch that. It's your conscience telling you, because in between the voice of truth and the voice of consequences is the voice of conscience. Oh, I said something there. Don't have anything to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. It will bring suffering. Your conscience is telling you there are consequences to doing this. But that voice is not prevailing. Many times we override, right? Our conscience, the voice of our conscience. It was the voice of warning, if you will, that appears between that voice of conscience and consequences. It's the voice of warning. Don't do this. It will have adverse effects. That voice is saying, "He is the truth. Have nothing to do with this just man. Leave him alone. Release him. Whatever you got to do, don't do it." After the voice of consequences comes from the voice of envious people, now he's got to make a decision. Do I satisfy them? How can I satisfy me? Or should I satisfy them? Somebody's going to be satisfied. You hear me? One voice is going to be satisfied. I remember an old rock song. I didn't listen to rock, but I remember one by Bob Dylan. "You're going to serve somebody." Anybody, you remember that one, Sister Susie? No, you gotta tell the truth around here. You're gonna serve somebody. You're gonna listen to somebody. And in that song, he said, "It may be the devil, it may be the Lord." It's what he said. But you're gonna serve somebody. I might sing that one night. Gospel song. There's no one in this world that's more envious than Satan. And he's envious of Christ. That's why they were full of the devil. Envious people are full of the devil. The voice of envy are people that encourage others to do wrong, saying, "I'll pay the price for you. Let his blood be on us and our children. Just tell him I said so." That's the voice of envy. Rebellious voice. And they encouraged him. They've been encouraging him to crucify him. "Let his blood be on us. Just wash your hand. Get you some water and wash your hand. It won't be on you. Let it be on us and our children." I wished it would be like that, but it's not. You can't wash your hands of this thing. History says, I don't know if it's true, said he died washing his hands. I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds true. Now watch this. Verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. See, the one that was released got to go free, even though he was a murderer and a robber and a thief, and Jesus hadn't done any of those things. But they said, away, away with Jesus. Watch. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They said unto him, these voices, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? He was determined to let him go. What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, his voice was not being heard, so to speak. He was prevailing nothing. But rather a tumult was made. He took water and he washed his hands in their sight before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. You can't palm this off on somebody else. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, oh my goodness, scourged him, he delivered him to be crucified. The prevailing voice that day was the crowd and the chief priest. Even though Pilate was determined to let him go. First, Luke 23 and 23. And they were instant. Read this again. Instant with their loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and I want you to notice the chief. How polluted was Israel? How polluted were the Jewish nation? That even their chief priest were crucifying Christ. So the next voice, I won't spend any time here because I don't have that much time, but the next voice that Pilate hears is the voice of compassionate men. One named Joseph of Arimathea and another one named Nicodemus, who went to Jesus by night begging the body. A voice of compassion for the one that was dying. And he said, we got to check and see if he's dead first. Sent soldiers out there, stuck him, he was dead. They went to break his leg, he's already dead. And the Bible says, and he marveled that he was dead so soon. Voice of compassion. And after he hears that voice, then there's this voice of these angry people. He writes on a plaque, if you will, and puts it over the cross in three different languages. He says this, in all capital letters, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Y'all hadn't caught it yet. He writes on a plaque and puts it over the cross, and he writes on there, the King of the Jews, in all capital letters. And the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate, say not that he is the King of the Jews, but that he said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate responded and said, what I have written, I have written. My voice has turned into writing. And what I have written, all the voices that Pilate listened to turned into writing the truth. Wow. This regretful man is now writing. Pilate ended up recognizing the first thing Jesus said. He ended up going back to the truth. The first question was, are you the King of the Jews? And on the plaque he wrote, the King of the Jews. I'm here to tell you, it will always go back to the truth. Everything's going to circle back to the truth. But I don't want to be regretful as it makes its way back to the truth. So Pilate writes this on the cross of Jesus, that he was the King of the Jews. He is now declaring that he is the truth. What did Jesus say? Thou sayest. Boy, was that ever prophecy. Thou sayest. And it all circles back to the truth. You know, the Bible says that every knee shall bow. Ooh, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Hallelujah. And while on this judgment day, we have Jesus standing at Pilate's feet, on the great judgment day, Pilate will be standing at Jesus' feet. And he'll say, what is truth? I am the truth. Is that not what he told Martha and Mary? I am the truth and the resurrection and the way. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth shall never die. That's the truth. As they come tonight, that prevailing voices, he was determined to let him go. I wonder how determined, you know, you walk out of church, you come to the altar, I'm determined to live for God. I'll tell you what changes your mind every time. Voices. Voices. It may be little voices in your mind, your own mind, I don't know, but it's voices. Because if you make your mind up and you say, I want to have a voice in this, and I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to serve God, ain't nothing going to stop me. Them little voices pollutes what you just said. And it can pollute it before you get out. Today, I want to tell you, every person gets asked the same two questions. What is truth? What is truth? Now listen close. Now, what will you do with the truth? Pilate went to him and said, what is truth? Then he goes out to the crowd and said, what will you have me do with this Christ? What will I do with the truth? Now that you've got the truth, what will you do with it? Everybody gets that same question. What are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to do with your opportunity that you have to live for God? What are you going to do with it? You're exposed to the voice of truth tonight. You're exposed to the voice of your conscience. And you're exposed to the voice of error. Which voice will prevail in your life? For the life of me, I can't understand why people won't stay with truth. I can't understand that. Jesus said, my sheep know. They know my voice. And a stranger, my dog knows my voice. He won't follow us. He knows my voice. And a stranger, he won't follow. But my people, he said this, and it's kind of crude the way he put it. He said, oxes know their crib and the ass his master, but my people do not consider. An old ox knows it's time to eat. Boy, here he comes. You don't have to ring a bell or anything. They're coming. Knows his master. My sheep hear my voice, and stranger they will not follow. That voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm telling you, I want the prevailing voice to be pleased with me. The Bible says when he's coming back as a sword comes out of his mouth. That's his voice. The voice, it says, of the archangel and the trump of God is going to sound. He's coming back with a voice. And he's going to say, what is truth? What is truth? What did you do with the truth? As you stand tonight, there's a voice that's calling every one of us. As you make your way tonight, we have a few minutes. I want you to come down here, if you will, because there's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. There's a voice calling me.